Scene 8, Michael Strong, 1:40 p.m. It was, indeed, less than 5 minutes before someone answered. It was less than 20 seconds. When there came a knock on the door, I didn't for one moment believe it had any connection with my call. I assumed it was someone for Giles. If a voice other than that of Giles, my own voice, had called out for identification through a closed door, the owner of that knock might have departed. I wanted to see who it was, so I just threw the door open as quickly as I could get to it. A man stepped through and said in accents of purest astonishment, "Mr. Just!" I stared at him, nonplussed, and then remembered. It was the guard at the door of the exhibitor's room. We had talked yesterday afternoon, and I remembered his name, Michael Strong. I even remembered his middle initial was P. I said ungraciously, "How did you get here so quickly?" I didn't bother identifying myself. He knew me, and I was still wearing my badge. "Walkie-talkie," he said, indicating something suspended from his belt. "I was closest. You say there's a dead man here?" "In the bathroom," I said, and followed him. Strong might have been a member of hotel security, but that did not mean he was used to bodies. Petty pilfering by the maids and guests who had locked themselves out of their rooms were much more his speed, no doubt. He staggered a bit when he opened the bathroom door and looked inside. I was rather glad. I was conscious of the fact that I had not handled myself too well on seeing the body, and I didn't want him to shame me by doing better. He didn't. Considering that he had been warned there was a dead body in the bathroom, he did poorly indeed. He came out, pale, his face contorted, and said, "He's still a little warm, but he's dead all right." He swallowed with an audible noise. "I guess he won't write..." And he ran down. I remembered. He was a fan of Giles. He had been planning for his autograph. Perhaps he had obtained it. I removed some of the self-serving scorn I had pumped up for him. If I had remembered, I would have broken the news to him. Strong cleared his throat and tried to regain his professional aplomb. He said, "It looks to me like he finished his shower, then he slipped and fell. He grabbed the curtain, tore it down, hit his head against the faucets, and was killed, right?" I shrugged. I didn't for a minute believe that had happened, but I just said, "I wasn't here."
"You mean you came after he was dead?"
"That's right." Strong looked at me in puzzlement.
"How did you get in, then? Did he leave the door open while he was taking a shower?"
"I had a key," I said. "There it is." And I pointed to it on the bureau.
"How did you get a key?"
"Mr. DeVore gave it to me. We're friends. After all, you told me yourself he was my protégé." I pronounced it correctly without thinking and hoped too late that he would understand. I suppose he did, but he went off on a new tangent. He said,
"How do you mean, friends?"
My lips twitched, and I tried to hold down the anger. I suppose it was a legitimate thought. "Friends," I said, "in the dictionary definition. I'm heterosexual."
"What?"
"I'm straight," I said, raising my voice. "I like girls, understand?"
"Yes, but how come you got a key?"
"I had to get something for him, and I just brought it up. It's there on the bureau next to the key." There was another knock at this point, a good loud one. I started for the door, but Strong motioned me away. He opened the door a bit, looked through, and said,
"Hello, Mr. Marsogliani,"
and he opened it wide.